The Supreme Court may soon weigh in on the medication abortion pill mifepristone. At midnight Central Time tonight, restrictions on the drug are scheduled to take effect. But a competing ruling preserves access to mifepristone in 17 states. And this morning, the Biden administration and the maker of the drug asked the Supreme Court to weigh in.
It has created a lot of confusion for women and politicians who want their vote. We'll start right there with our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us is Eugene Daniels with Politico Playbook and co-author and White House correspondent. Hey, Eugene.
Hi there. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
So, Eugene, let's jump right in. Anti-abortion groups have momentum to potentially take this pill off the market. How is the issue playing more broadly among Republican politicians and voters, GOP voters?
Well, I mean, when it comes to Republican politicians, what you haven't seen since the mifepristone ruling came down out of this district court was that you didn't see a lot of the presidential candidates, people that want to be presidential candidates, leaders in the Republican Party celebrating it, right? And one of the reasons why, when you talk to Republican strategists, is they are still trying to figure out in this party how to talk about abortion, despite the fact that for years they wanted something like the Dobbs decision to happen. They have caught the car, and they are looking at the numbers, some of the numbers that we had in Playbook this morning. 72% of people who say they oppose laws that make it illegal to use or receive through the mail FDA-approved drugs for medical abortion, right? 52% of Americans who oppose restrictions that make it illegal to obtain an abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. There are so many numbers that are rough for Republicans, and it shows that they're going in a place that largely Americans in this country are not. Abortion and the access to abortion and medicines like mifepristone, it's not a tense issue in the United States. Voters are very clear about what they want and how they want it. And the Republicans are struggling now that they caught the car to hold on to this issue in a way that politically is beneficial to them.
Yeah. Well, Rick, Eugene has segued us to talk about Ron DeSantis. As far as we know, the Florida governor wants to be president. Last year, he signed a state ban after 15 weeks of pregnancy to great fanfare. But last night, he very quietly signed a new bill with a six-week ban. DeSantis spoke this morning at Liberty University.
We're not just going to sit back and try to avoid issues or hope that issues get resolved, not want to wade into things because we're worried about creating any type of blowback. Any decision you make as a leader, there's going to be some people that like it. There's going to be other people that don't, and some elected officials.
And yet DeSantis did not specifically mention this new Florida abortion ban. So is this an issue he wants front and center or no?
What's the opposite of fanfare? This was a quiet signing shortly before midnight last night. He knows how to do big. This was certainly not big. And I think it nods to the tense politics of this moment. No one has quite figured it out. And I think, Governor DeSantis would say he's pro-life. He's proudly pro-life. You also saw this week Senator Tim Scott getting into the race with an exploratory committee. He seemed a bit flummoxed by the question about what exactly he would support at the federal level if he were elected president, ultimately landing on something like a 20-week abortion ban. But there's lots of Republican politicians, including his home state senator, Lindsey Graham, that want to go further than that. And there aren't that many Republicans, for as many of them that are pro-life or say they're pro-life, who want to go as far to say abortion should be outright banned everywhere. And that's what Eugene's getting at, is that Republicans are not in step with the country when it comes to abortion rights at this moment. Most Americans want to see some kind of an access, and most want to see things like a medically induced, a drug-induced abortion, that, especially in a bluer state, to have that kind of access. Saying you want a state to decide this is ultimately where things landed after the Dobbs decision, but there are so many different aspects to this that are still playing out.
Okay, and so briefly, Eugene, how central will the abortion issue be in the GOP primaries? I mean, if on one hand they're tugged in one direction, and then in a general election they'll be tugged in another, presumably.
Yeah, it's hard to say at this moment. I think they are still trying to figure that out. I will say that you will hear from Democrats, this White House, President Biden, who's most likely to run, who still has not announced. They're going to hope to make it an issue in the Republican primary, trying to force these candidates to take a position loudly and proudly so that they can use it against them in the general election.
Yeah. Let's move to gun politics. So today, most Republican hopefuls will likely speak at the National Rifle Association meeting in Indianapolis, Trump, Pence, DeSantis. So on the one hand, crossing the NRA is politically untenable. But in the general election, many Democrats and Republicans favor stricter gun laws. How do they navigate this, Rick?
Well, we've seen a real shift in the politics around gun control. For years, even if the public was mostly where the Democrats were and saying we should have things like an assault weapons ban or increased background checks, people didn't vote that way. We're starting to see signs of that changing. And I think the backdrop of Nashville as only the latest of many, many mass shootings this year, where automatic weapons or something close to it were used in the perpetration of heinous crimes, it's shifted things. Even if they're not moving at the federal level, it does suggest you've got to be a little bit careful about how you talk about these things. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they contrast themselves on stage. Donald Trump banned bump stocks in the wake of another shooting during his term, put that in motion. And there's definitely there's areas where other Republicans can sort of outflank him, move a little bit to his right on guns that might not be where the public is either.
All right. And let's talk about the other side of the aisle. Rick, you mentioned Tennessee, where there is, of course, an outpouring of Democratic support for two black lawmakers, state lawmakers who were expelled and then reinstated to the state house. The underlying issue is gun control that they were speaking about in the well of the state house. Nationwide, Eugene, how did Democrats at this moment try to gain traction on this issue?
Yeah, and on guns, you know, they have spent a lot of time kind of saying a lot of the things they've said for a long time, what they want, how they want it, and they feel like they're in step with the party. And with you know, talking about Tennessee, these two lawmakers, a lot of folks feel like it was a misstep for the Republican Party in Tennessee and how they operated and behaved, I guess, because both of these men have their jobs again. And what Democrats on the national level are seeing is that they can use, so to speak, the local level as a much better, smarter way, the state level, much better, smarter way to attack this issue, to find ways to have laws. And by galvanizing, you know, 7,000, I think, young people were marching in Tennessee, which led these two lawmakers to get on the floor and say and do what they did. And so they're seeing a lot of excitement around these issues. And so they think now is the right time to keep pushing that. I will say it's not completely clear, like Rick was saying, on national level, there's not much that we see them being able to do. They passed a law last year, and they thought they'd get another bite at the apple. That doesn't seem that clear.
But we have seen gun restrictions. We have seen gun restrictions mentioned, as you're saying, in states like Michigan, right? States that have become bluer.
Exactly, where they signed the governor there signed a long list of different laws that would restrict gun access or some would say promote gun safety. And I think that is something that folks are hoping. A lot of Democrats are watching what happened in Michigan to see how they do it. The best way to do it is to have both the House and the Senate and the state and a governor who's a Democrat. That's kind of the only way to get something like that done.
Okay. So the Senate is going to return from a two-week recess on Monday, and absent will be 89-year-old longtime California Senator Dianne Feinstein, still recuperating from shingles. And she's also been struggling with some memory problems. Now, on Wednesday, two fellow Democrats called on her to resign. And last night on CNN, Democrat Amy Klobuchar said Feinstein has a serious decision to make.
I want to see what happens in the next month or so. You give her that time to be able to come back. But if she can't come back month after month after month with this close Senate, that's not just going to hurt California. It's going to be an issue for the country.
Rick, what do you make of that?
Oh, it's a fascinating nexus of a whole lot of storylines that Democrats are grappling with right now and what kind of pressure to exert. It's clear that Senator Feinstein, there's no timetable for her return. And if she does return, the questions around her mental capacity remain. I think the most urgent thing for Democrats is to try to get that vote back on the floor. They've been down two votes with Feinstein as well as Senator John Fetterman dealing with mental health issues and treatment for depression. He's expected back next week. Feinstein isn't. We don't know when she'll be back. And I do think you're starting to see some Democrats go places that they didn't want to go in calling for Senator Feinstein to step down. Congressman Ro Khanna from California among the first to call for that. Now, there may be political considerations at play because different people support different candidates to the race to succeed her. But it's an urgent issue for Democrats because they have a year and a half left of governing before the elections. They want to make sure they're at a full complement at 51 to 49 Senate. And Senator Feinstein, almost 90 years old, even if she is to return, doesn't have the mental capacities, many people's view, to perform the job. There's no mechanism to remove her other than for her to resign. And I am curious what plays out in these next couple of weeks. I think Senator Klobuchar is trying to give her space. So is former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. But there's really not much they can do other than exert that public
Indeed.
Pressure.
It's something we'll continue to watch here. Rick Klein is ABC News political director, and Eugene Daniels is Politico Playbook co-author and White House correspondent. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.